What up? What it do? What it do? Good evening, good night, and happy Sunday to y'all. Welcome back to another episode of Black Culture The Breakdown. I am your boy, Jersey. What's good? All right, so we on season three, episode three. All right, that's three in a row, and we got a super dope episode today. It's going to be called Put Some Respect on My Name, all right?
Yes.
That's what it's all about today. We got a super dope show. We got the real Chuck Bass in the building. What up, bro? Saying I'm ready. He in here early. What up, Gail White? Miss Betty in the house. What up, Miss Betty?
Yes.
How we feeling? All right. We got MRK on the building today.
Yes.
Okay. And then of course, last but not least, we got Miss Stormy Maya from the hit show One More Chance in the building tonight.
Yes.
We got a lot to talk about, but we're gonna get into this conversation real quick with the kid, Chuck. All right, Chuck, you ready, my bro? He say I'm ready. I see you on here. Let's get you on here early. How we feeling, everybody? Welcome back to Black Culture The Breakdown, though, if you ain't know. It is an infectious show talking about everything in culture, right? Breaking down politics, movies, and, of course, just pushing the culture forward, all right?
Yes!
That's all we about. That's all we trying to do. Anyways, what y'all drinking? All right. What up, bro? Welcome to the show, man.
What's going on? What's going on with you, man?
Coast to coast, man. Welcome to Black Culture The Breakdown, man. First time on the show.
Man, it's a pleasure to be here for real, man. Y'all definitely caught me at the most fantastic time. So I'm excited, man. I've been looking forward to this all week.
Most definitely, man. So first of all, tell the people who you are and what you do. Let's start off there.
Man, the people call me Chuck. If you know me personally, my name is Omar from Boston, Massachusetts. I'm a fashion advisor, style influencer, menswear enthusiast, and creative director. From Boston, Massachusetts. I got to rep my city twice for the people who don't know that Boston really got some talent. So that's where I'm from. That's what I'm representing for real, for real. All
right, that's dope. All right, Boston in the house.
Yes.
All right. So,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So break it down to everybody that doesn't understand what an actual influencer is, right? Like just break that entails.
So, man, for a lot of people just think that influencers don't really do much. It's just like, oh, you just post and you try to get paid for it on the simplest terms. Like, yes and no. So, for the most part, as an influencer, I work with up-and-coming brands or well-established brands to help try to bring traffic to their landing pages, to try to convert viewers into buying power, into audiences and stuff like that. So, I work with a lot of different brands. To bring traffic to their pages, to drive buying power, to purchase products and things like that. So I'll get paid for posted content, sponsored content, things like that. It's kind of, to be honest, style influencing and creative directing kind of go hand in hand in a sense. So for those of you who try to sleep on a craft, it definitely takes some creativity to try to do it. So, yeah.
Okay. So now... What up, Stormy? I see you. We're going to be ready for you soon. Talk to us about, like, the creative aspect of it. So people do think that influencers just trying to get paid out here and just trying to make money off of just taking some pictures. Really feel like it's real work, per se. But break down, I guess, like a day-to-day action of what an influencer actually does. And if it's someone that's trying to get into it, maybe don't know how to, what would be a step to kind of take forward with that?
Yeah, man. So style influencing kind of fell into my lap after I've been modeling for quite a long time. I've been modeling for about 10 plus years. And when I moved to Dallas, I kind of really realized what the influencer marketing aspect of the business was outside of the modeling aspect, right? So what models will do, the difference between modeling and style influencing is a model will get paid for like a campaign or for like an ad that might be in like a business or on like a flyer or something like that. That's not necessarily meant to drive traffic to buy, but is more purely just to be the face of the brand to kind of promote it. Now, what an influencer will do is influencers have direct access or influence over people through their social medias to buy, right? So it's like the same thing how we grew up and there was like, you see a rapper, you see Will Smith, you see SWV, I'm using old school references because, you know what I'm saying, those are the best people out there. But you know what I'm saying? You see the hip hop legends wearing FUBU and AVEREX and shit. They're the first type of people that you see wearing the type of stuff that you want. They're the influencers without even really trying to influence you.
Absolutely.
And they're the ones who's driving the buying power, right? So what the media nowadays is noticing, it's like, yo, listen, instead of just rappers, hip hop artists or actors that have influence over people, there's direct people in the market who are also consumers who have a lot of power to drive other people to buy just because they're fashionable people, they're lifestyle type of people, travel, things like that. So me being an influencer, I had already been doing this stuff, being a model, without necessarily knowing the influencer side of it. Mm-hmm. So when I moved to Dallas, I hooked up with a bunch of people who have actually been fantastic mentors to me in the game to try to figure out how I can get paid off of the stuff I was already doing. So any word of advice to anybody starting out who wants to be an influencer or wants to join this life, really do some research, figure out what type of influencer you want to be, because there's many different lanes. There's fashion, there's travel, there's lifestyle influencing, there's architecture. There's so many different lanes that you want to go into, or that you can go into, should I say. So just try to narrow it down. But I think my biggest word of advice when going into it is consistency. And even that's something that kind of sound a little bit hypocritical on, because I can't lie, I'm not the most consistent person when it comes to dropping the content. Because some of my boys, they're working a little bit harder than me, and they seeing the return on their investment, which makes me want to go a little bit harder. But what I should say is definitely be consistent. Consistency is key. I have a friend who went from less followers than I have. And it's not all about followers, but just judging from that perspective, I had a friend who had less followers than I had at one point, and now he's double what I have in less than a year, because he was consistent every single day, posting 2 times a day, 4 to 5 times a week. You know what I'm saying? And with Instagram, the reels is going up too. So it's not even just sharing photos and shit no more. It's video. So Definitely. Influencing can be hard. It can be easy at the same time. It really all just depends on your schedule and what effort you want to put into it.
Okay. Yeah. So that's trying to definitely tap into that influencer game. That's exactly the thing. You just got to make sure it makes sense and be consistent and get that scheduling right. Now, talk to us about how important talent is what talent is required to be an influencer. How about that? Like, in terms of taking it to the next level and standing out from a pile of people that's trying to do the same thing, what are the things that you need to possess to kind of make sure you fly off with?
Man, that's a good question, man. This man coming up with the questions. I love it. I say the level of talent that has to be is really a drive to notice changes and to hop on those changes before it's too late, right? So changes are trends, right? To be able to recognize a trend either before it happens or as it's happening, hop on that trend. Definitely. So for instance, I would say during the pandemic, all the interesting transitional changes with video started like happening. You know what I'm saying? Like wearing an outfit, taking a step, and then you're in a different outfit. Those transitions kind of started molding the way for Instagram in a sense, right? Even though TikTok was already doing it, Instagram hopped on a little bit later. Seeing that as a trend and then hopping on that before it's too late. Because if you hop on that trend too late, your video is not going to go anywhere anymore. It's going to stay stagnant. You're not going to get the views. You're not going to get the shares, the follows, none of that. So I personally myself went to school for fashion merchandising for a little bit. And we studied fashion forecasting, where it's kind of forecasting past trends and figuring out whether they're going to be recycled, whether it's going to come back, or whether something new is going to happen based off of pop culture. So if you see something that's going on and you feel like something that's going to be a trend is going to happen real soon, I highly advise as an influencer to hop on that trend, right? Being trendy isn't always the worst thing. If that's all that you offer, hell yeah, that's the worst thing to do, is just solely be trendy. But if you can hop on trends for a little bit, but hop off, but also set trends, that's what's going to set you apart from some of the other influencers for sure. Gotcha. Right? Because your audience is going to be followers. I'm not going to lie to you. You know what I'm saying? They're going to be followers. They're going to want to hop on certain trends because they're hot right now. They want to be fashionable. They want to be relevant. There's nothing wrong with that. But just as long as you're not a follower and on trends all the time, there won't be an issue. So,
okay,
that's definitely something that I would say people gotta hop on.
All right, so make sure y'all definitely hop on them trends. All right, so, man, Chuck, you definitely gave a whole bunch of insight on just being an influencer and just kind of getting the ball rolling with that. But I want to jump a quick segment just called Culture News. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, let's get it. Let's get into it.
All right, and then just before we get MRK on here, but Wendy Williams will not be back for season 14 premiere of her show. All right? For her hit daytime show, 14th.
Yeah.
Give us your quick thoughts on her not returning, and what do you think about it?
Man, honestly, I'm not gonna lie to you. Wendy is a menace, man. Wendy is a menace, man. She her gossip stories is been crazy, man. I'm not a big like Love and Hip Hop fan. I'm not a big when it like, you know, like ghetto ratchet TV gossip, all of that type of stuff. That's just not me. So I try not to pay too much attention to it. And Wendy is definitely a big gossip type of person. So I'm honestly not surprised based off of her antics, based off of her audience, that she's not going to come back. It's really not surprising to me.
Well, they're saying that she's taking a break due to her Graves' disease. And, you know, she tested positive for COVID-19. So it's slew of reasons why she continuously keeps pushing the show back. But now they announced that the show is coming back and they're just going to have different guests for the next couple of weeks until she decides to return.
So they're going to have different hosts until she comes back?
That's what they said. So
I heard Nick Cannon might be taking over her slot if she don't come back soon enough.
That's what I also heard. So it's interesting to just see how the culture is just unfolding.
Yeah, yeah, the culture be shifting. Listen, I'm honestly never a fan of when they change hosts. I'm still mad about when they change AJ and Free from 106 and Park. I'm still heartbroken, so I'm a little biased with it. But with Wendy, man, I mean, if she has health issues, you know what I'm saying, best of luck to her. And you know what I'm saying, handle everything that she has to handle internally wise before she wants to make that return to TV, because you could see, you know, her personal problems start to unravel and start to affect the TV show for sure. But even before all that, I wasn't the biggest fan of Wendy, man. So I personally could do without the show.
Okay. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Show is out. It don't matter to him. So at the end of the day, Chuck, you a dope man. I appreciate you coming on here and definitely giving us your insight on being an influencer and just hanging out with us on Black Culture, bro. You a dope.
Of course, man. I appreciate that, man. And y'all take care, man. Y'all definitely tune into my man way more often. He's got some good content on the way, man. And definitely tune in. Good stuff.
Tell everybody where they can find you and pretty much how they can reach you.
Oh, man. Y'all can find me on the gram at @TheReal_Chuck_Bass. I'm not trying to ruin the surprise, but coming to a screen near you. Stay tuned to your TV. We're going to be on that real soon. So I'll be seeing y'all real soon.
Real soon. Stormy says stay on. She wants you to stay on. How about this? How about you stay in the comments and I'm going to add you back on here?
Oh, we with that. It's cool. It ain't nothing.
All right, cool. All right, let's definitely do that. Storm, I'm going to get him back on. I'm going to get MRK on here first.
Already. Already.
Right. Chuck, everybody. All right, so if you tuned in to Black Culture, The Breakdown, welcome to the show. All right, make sure you hit the follow button. It's free. Yes. Okay. But we got Miss Stormy Maya in the house. All right. And we got my boy MRK on the line as well. And I'm about to get them on here right now. And then Stormy, I'm about to get them all on the live at the same time. All right. I got you. But let me see if MRK is on here and ready. There we go. Boom, boom, boom. MRK, send a request. I'm not sure what's up. But it's not letting me. Oh, here we go. Bomb. What y'all sipping on? Make sure y'all got some of y'all cups, though. Right, there you go.
What's going on, my guy?
What up, bro?
Hey, man, I'm happy to be here. G, how you feeling today?
I'm feeling great, man. Welcome to Black.
Hey, man, thank you for having me, bro.
Of course, of course. Like, start it off. Tell the people who you are and what you do.
Indeed, man. I go by MRKSX, Michigan Rap King. The SX is shorthand for socks because I really, really love socks. I'm an artist, man. Like I said, I'm from Detroit. And I work with a bunch of people you don't know and a few that you do know.
Okay. All right. Man, you've been in the game for over 20 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're an OG, you're a veteran in this game, but man, you don't look at age over 25, all right?
Bro, so, I appreciate that.
Most definitely, most definitely. But walk us through your grind, through your process. How'd you get into the game?
Oh, man. So I went into the military straight out of high school. I went into the Air Force. And I wound up getting stationed in a small town in Oklahoma. And, man, I was lost. You dig? Like I was a fish out of water. The whole from number one, being in the military. Number two, being in a mostly white environment. You know what I mean? It took some getting used to. Man, my high school had two white kids in it. And that was it. And the only time I ever saw white people was at the doctor's office and my teachers. Like, that was it. So all of a sudden, I'm in a situation where I'm around nothing but white people. And, man, I didn't feel like I had a voice. I didn't feel like I had anything to say. And hip-hop spoke to me in such a way. Tupac spoke to me in such a way. Common spoke to me in such a way. Outkast spoke to me in such a way
that, yes!
That made me feel like I could have a voice in the world, you dig? So just on my own, I just started writing. And I would go to the store back when they sold CDs, right? When you could go buy CDs, and I would buy any CD single that had an instrumental with it.
Yeah.
Bring it back to the crib. I had a little karaoke machine, you know what I'm saying? And I used to do my thing in the karaoke machine. And then one day I went to the store, they was out of singles for me to buy. So I needed to figure out how to make beats. So I went to a homie of mine and asked him what people do to make beats, because I knew he knew somebody, right? Because back in the day, like in the late 90s, even in the early 2000s, if you wanted to get into music production, that was like a $3,000 decision. You know what I'm saying? And that was just to get a sampler or just a beat machine or something like that. That wasn't the whole situation, you feel me? And I didn't know. So my man told me where to go. I went to the Guitar Center spot, told them I wanted to figure out how to make the beats. They took me to the back and showed me a drum machine, and it was on from there.
So, well, then your career has definitely kept going, bro. I did a little research.
I appreciate it, bro. Wound up overseas, man, is really what really kicked off for me, man, over in Tokyo, Japan, man. Shout out to Tokyo, Japan. It's where I got introduced to the real music industry. You know what I mean? I was blessed enough to work with some of the biggest artists over there. And first time I was ever in a real studio, first time I've seen a contract of any kind, even though it was in another language. First time I got paid for my work, like the whole nine was over there, man. So being over there and doing that gave me the gall, the balls, you know what I'm saying, to get out and chase it full time. So back in 07, I dipped, man, moved to Atlanta, and I've been going hard ever since.
Okay. So then now, what was your first, like, oh, shit, I kind of hit something. What was your first, like, superstar moment?
I think as a producer, I was working with an artist that used to be signed to Shady Records named Bobby Creekwater, right? And so he vibed with the music. I wound up producing two mixtapes for him, BC Era and BC Era Deuce. And through him, I met a lot of other people, man. When people would come into Atlanta, they would want to holler at him. So I'm sitting on a tour bus with, like, the Alchemist. I don't know if people know who Alchemist is, but he's, like, an extremely well-respected producer in the underground. You know what I mean? And when he told me I had beats, I knew I had beats. You dig what I mean? So bumping into guys like him, man, I wound up working with Killer Mike. I wound up doing some stuff with Ludacris. I even worked with the R&B singer Estelle from the UK and a lot of work with my guy King Crooked, which is a West Coast legend. You know what I mean? Arrested Development, speech from Arrested Development. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, man. Roz Kaz. I mean, just a lot of different people, man. I can't complain, man. You dig what I'm saying? I've been doing my thing, man. I'm getting some pretty dope looks right now.
Of course, of course. Now, tell us, man, and that's a blessing to be able to work with all those people, man.
Yeah.
Bro, you are actually super dope at what you do. I had to listen to tracks, and I was like, yo, this is actually... I want you to actually tell me if you can let the people hear 30 seconds of any track right now, what you want them to hear.
it don't even matter. Like the first one that come up when you type my name in, I stand behind everything I do, bro.
Well, we got Earth Day, we got Millionaire.
Yeah, either one.
All right, cool. All right. Go ahead and introduce whatever one you want, and I'm going to push play on it.
Indeed, man. Play that, play that Earth Day. Earth Day. Yep, it's the Earth Day featuring my guy Wiz's Beast and my guy Eric Gerard shot the video up in D.C. That just dropped a couple of weeks ago. You know what I'm saying? So if y'all vibe into that, check it out.
If you feel on the track, drop some fire emojis in the chat. What up, what up, what up? Welcome to Black Culture if you're just tapping in.
What up, right? Back and ask me, speak this agony down the back streets. Yup, yup, any sing black street. Cup, cup, any black bees. Kids have Japanese. What can I say? I have fun. Go USA. Bring you to him, singing to best days. Y'all know what I do on the rest day. Tomorrow I'ma be outperforming. Used to just want a George Foreman. Me and my three dogs are performing. Now I won't change, big as organs. Put up in the house, get your house warming. With a bad bitch, better being boring. Look at weed with baddies drumming. Bust down like I'm bad at touring. And down at touring. Whatever all is, that's what I want. It's room. Watching other people kids, that's what I want.
That's what I want.
Ain't no walk days, nigga, that's what I'm on.
That's what I want.
If you in the club, stop staring. These niggas ain't sharing. Walk up to a teller. That's what I want. That right there. 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 That's
what I want. Okay.
Produced by my guy Timo too. Shout out Timo.
Of course. So that was Earth Day.
Mm-hmm.
All right, man, that's definitely fire. That's what I want, bro. Straight fire. So now, just to the cats that's trying to get into the music out here,
yeah.
What advice would you give to them for tapping into just 2021 generation of music, hip hop right now?
Figure out where to get some money from, because it's going to take a lot of it. Back in the day, and I'll make that make sense for you real quick. Back in the day, when people needed major labels to make an impression on the business, major labels spend a lot of money. They do a lot of payola for a lot of different things. All right. When the social media thing kicked in, you dig, and it kind of got turned over to the artists to figure out how to heat themselves up. Those things that needed to still get paid still need to get paid, whether the record label pays them or you pay them. Different doors that where the keys cost a certain amount of money, the price for the key never changed. They just passed it on to the artist. Right? They just decided not to take the same kind of investments. It was easier. It was easier that way to let you figure that part out to where people will give a damn that you even do music to begin with. And then once they see you heating up, then they'll come do business with you, which is really get in business with you. Back in the day, it was them doing that. Back in the day, it was them putting feet on the ground in the cities, hitting all of the spots, paying all of the known DJs in every city. You know what I mean? You know, whether it was DJs on the street, whether it was in the radio stations. And like I said, all of those things still have to get paid. You dig? So if I could do it all over again, the advice I would give somebody is get a second job and make a 3-year goal, right? For 3 years, save every penny you get from that second job and practice on your craft. At the end of that 3 years, you're going to meet a nice budget, and you're going to be 3 years doper than you was 3 years ago.
Gotcha.
And then take that money and go and talk to as many people as you can to find people to know what to do with that money. You know what I mean? And if I could do it all over again, that's what I would do.
Okay.
Resist the urge to chase famous people. You're going to waste your time.
Yes. Hear what he say? He's just dropping gems. He's dropping them for free too.
Resist the urge, fam. Resist the urge. I know it's there. We all do it. We've all done it. But you have to ask yourself, would you give somebody the same opportunity that you want from these people? Like somebody that you don't know, fresh off the block, just because they got talent, would you take your time, your resources, your social network and invest it into somebody? Right. And you really have to ask yourself, because what you're trying to do is you're trying to get somebody to do that for you.
Absolutely.
So really think about that.
Definitely, man. That's a food for thought right there, man. Should I definitely think about that?
Mm-hmm.
And definitely not last question. How important is being talented, bro? Like actually knowing how to just
through your craft and knowing how to write and produce and spit and perform? How important is that in still music right now?
It all we not all here for the same reasons, bro. Like we don't all listen to music for the same reasons. We don't all want to be in the business for the same reasons. We don't have the same passions. I know it seemed that way because the umbrella is music, but the truth is we're not all here for the same reason. Some people are attention whores, bro. They just really love attention. Like they want people to pay attention to them.
Yeah.
And music is the way by which they can see that through, right? Other people really want to express themselves. Like they have something they really want to say. You see what I'm saying? And so they say it. You dig? Other people just trying to get bread, bro. You know? And some people want to do all of them, right? Like we don't all exist in the same, we all in the same space, but we're not all in the same space for the same reasons. And we make the mistake a lot of times of believing that we all are here for the same reasons. And we just not, man. So when you ask a question like that, it all depends on who you're talking to. For a guy such as myself, where I want my peers to enjoy what I do, talent is going to be at the top of that list. Like the people that I look up to, some of them I've actually gotten to work with, for them to look across the studio at me and say, man, you cut from that cloth. You dig what I'm saying? Is worth all the time in the world that I put into this. You see what I'm saying? But on the other hand, I gotta have talent enough to make music for people that just like to listen to music. They just like for it to not be silent, and they just want something happening while they're having a good time. So I gotta do music for them too.
Absolutely.
Right? You see what I'm saying? I gotta do music for people who like to ride in their car on long distances and listen to music. I gotta make music for them too.
Gotcha.
You see what I'm saying? But that's important to me, man. For some people, they just trying to get paid. For some people, it's the difference between figuring out a way off the block or going to jail. You know what I mean? Like it's that serious. So their approach to it, all they care about is what's gonna work. They're not interested in being good or bad or any of that. They just trying to figure out the formula right now for what's gonna work. You dig? So I respect all the grinds, right? Like I get them all. You know, it's dope that this even exists to be able to do that.
Of course, man. And man, you just definitely dropped a whole bunch of gems just now. You know what I'm saying? But it's definitely true. Everybody definitely exists for different reasons. You just got to figure out what it is that you're doing it for.
Absolutely.
And just rock with the people that you feel like rock with the ideas and the mindset you're trying to be in. And that makes the most sense to me.
Yeah.
So, man, let me ask you one culture news question.
You good?
On here with everybody, so when I get off with you, still stay on, and at the end of Stormy's interview, I'm gonna get everybody back on the live together. If you down.
Okay, bet.
All right, but let me ask you this: Offset just bought Cardi B a mansion.
Yeah.
For her birthday.
Yeah.
Are you gonna be buying anybody a mansion for their birthday anytime in your lifetime?
I can't foresee myself doing that, but I tell you what, man. I look forward to that even being an idea that could pop in my head. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, you know what I mean? That's his wife, man. Like, I mean, wife, you get whatever, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? And every woman got a special formula that keeps her happy. I guess to keep her to be happy, you know what I'm saying? You gotta be able to buy mansions and shit, I guess. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't got problems, you know what I mean?
So I guess next year he got to buy her an island. But, you know.
Hey, listen, if you want to keep, you know what I'm saying? I guess that's what they own, you know what I mean? Listen, man, they're young. They got more money than they know what to do with. And it just sounds like some cool shit to do, you know? So, you know what I mean? Whatever, bro. Like enjoy. You dig? You know?
MRK said what he said.
Yes.
So now tell everybody, man, where they can find you and what you got coming up, man.
Indeed, man. You could just type in MRKSX into any search engine that you like to use, any platform. I am comfortable and excited however you want to access me and my music. I worked really hard to make it possible for you just to type in MRKSX on anything. So however you want to consume what I got going on, I'm with it. I got a collaboration album coming out Friday. Me, Roz Kaz, Young Ma from the Loonies, and Swift and McVay from D12. We did an album. It's called Long Story Longer Presents. It features a whole lot of other people, way more names than I got time to list off right here. You dig what I'm saying? But tap into that. The new single is out. It's getting play on Shade 45 right now. It's called People Like You. Long story long with People Like You. Like I said, you can look me up, man. MRKSX on anything. You dig? Follow me, I'll follow you back.
You heard what you said. That's on money. All right, make sure you go stream that MRKSX on everything.
All right. Hey, thank you, bro. Thank you. Thank you.
Dope, man. Don't be a stranger and stay in the comments and we're going to get you back on here.
I'm here.
All right, bro.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Marquez. All right. So if you're tapping in, welcome to Black Culture, the Breakdown.
Yes.
I am your boy, Jersey. Make sure you hit that follow button. It is free.
Yes.
Quick sponsor alert. This episode is sponsored by Spicy Jewelry. I got a chain on right here. It's nice ice right here. Make sure you type in www.spicyjewelry.com and go ahead and get whatever you want. They got Cuban links. They got rings. They got all types of accessories. Go ahead and type in my discount code at Black Culture Breakdown and get you 15% off your whole purchases. All right? We hooking y'all up on you on Black Culture. All right, let's get Miss Stormy in here. All right, moment of truth. Let's see. What y'all drinking? I ain't putting it in the comments below. All right, there she go. What's up?
What's poppin'?
In the Black Coat Breakdown Story.
I know. What's going on?
Nothing much. Nothing much. Check you out looking all beautiful and all glowing.
Thank you.
All right. So, first of all, tell everybody who you are and what you do. Let's get into it.
Oh, shit, we got 200 people. Oh, shit, 300. Oh, shit. I'm sorry, Maya. Oh, shit, we have 400. Yeah. Woo!
Okay.
I'm sorry, Maya. I'm a, you want my titles?
Go ahead. Tell the people who you are.
I mean, okay, I do everything from film producing, film directing, acting, music, whatever. Entrepreneur, hustle, make money.
Okay, okay.
Hey, everybody, what's poppin'?
Yeah, she's listing her 100 occupations.
I don't know, whatever. Entrepreneur, bitch trying to make it.
Okay, so now let me ask you this, Stormy. If you had to pick any of these things to save your life today, which one are you going with?
Acting.
Okay. All right. So walk us back to beginning Stormy for us, for people that don't know. So you're an actress. How'd you get into the game?
Someone said whatever makes the most money. Let me tell you something. Acting is what makes the least. it's definitely the passion. Well, I started in the entertainment industry at 16. And when I first got into entertainment, I do like this because entertainment covers everything. So when I first got into entertainment, I first got into video modeling, you know, like the music video girls. And I first got into like sexy modeling. That's when I was 16. And at first it was just a way to escape. Like I was currently in foster care at the time and I didn't have any money, and it was a way for me to make extra money. At the time, it was a big deal to me. I'd get like $150 for a shoe or $200 for a music video, and 16, 17, 18, that was like a lot of money to me because it would take me all week to get that in minimum wage jobs, right? So for me, it was like a way to basically hustle and make extra money, and I never thought like I would just like reach certain levels. Like at first it was just hustling, you know what I mean? Like I didn't think that I would actually become successful in things. And then throughout the years, I started growing my passions, and I went from modeling to being a Playboy model, to being an actress in theater, to being an actress in film, to being a director, to being a producer, to doing music. And now I'm doing reality. So at first I'm just trying to make some money.
Chuck just said Stormy looked like she charged men for a response. Okay, so okay.
I'd like to just listen. I'm just a person who I don't like to shit on myself, but I always tell people this. I said, listen, I'm not a naturally talented person. I wasn't born with amazing vocals. I wasn't put into dance or instruments at a young age. Nobody ever put me in anything when I was a kid. I was just growing up poor as fuck trying to make it. So I'm not a person who's like, oh my God, I'm amazingly smart or amazingly talented or amazingly anything. I'm just a person who hustles my fucking ass off and just works hard to basically better my life. And I'm proud of myself at 26. I feel like I've done a lot of things and I've been in the industry for 10 years. And yeah, so hey.
Well, yo.
I just hustle, baby.
We love a success story on Black Culture, The Breakdown, all right? And the fact that we got you on here now and you got the comments going crazy for you, so you definitely built a fan base that rock with you.
Yeah. I love my storm chasers. What's popping, storm chasers?
Oh, you call them the storm chasers.
Those are the storm chasers, the storm troopers, okay.
Well, what up, storm chasers, storm troopers? So now, let me ask you this. What was your first moment that you was like, oh shit, I think I'm actually catching a lick right now. Like, give us that moment.
Oh my God, I've had so many moments like that. Like, every time a new one happens, I'm like, oh shit. And the very first time was, I was 18 and I was in New York. And shout out to New York, I'm from the Bronx. Hey, Bronx girl, what?
What up, Brooklyn?
Yeah.
So, the first time I ever felt like, oh shit, I'm here, was when I was 18. I had to do a music video for this artist called Kid Kid. I don't know if anyone remembers him, but he was like one of like 50s artists. And they picked me up in the like in the city, and they drove me to the Hamptons, and they basically filmed the music video, and I got to meet 50 Cent, right? And so to me at that moment, it was like, oh my God, I was 18. It's like a big deal to me. And that was the first time I was like, oh shit, a bitch is going somewhere. So that was a big deal to me. And I would say, like, when I did my first movie, 2016, I got my first role in a movie called 2050. It's like, it's out now, y'all can watch it. It has Dean Cain in it and shit. And it was like my first big role in a movie, and it was a big deal to me. And I remember I was like, oh my God, I'm like a real actress now. And yeah, I've had different little moments though like that.
Little moments. Okay, so then now you've built this career as a model. You got your acting credits under your belt, and then
I'm not really a model.
And then let's tap into this music real quick. Like, I put it on the flyer. You had a track. Hold on, I'm gonna tell you.
Oh,
right.
Black Man Magic.
Yeah, talk to us about that track and just your music journey. Talk to us about that.
We gotta hear it first, and what you're talking about.
The track?
Little 10 seconds though.
I got you right now. Yo, go ahead and
play the chorus.
Introduce your track.
This is my song, Black Man Magic. Shout out to Joe Budden, because he broke the song.
Drop some fire emojis if you're feeling this. Definitely a bop. I was like, yo.
Did you say Joe Budden wrote the song? No, I said he broke the song. Joe Budden was playing the song for like 4 weeks straight on his podcast, and he broke the song, broke the record.
So that's how this song got some traction. But you know, I definitely heard that chorus before. And I was like, oh, that's so crazy. Because sometimes you hear music, you don't even know where it comes from sometimes, you know what I'm saying? It's dope that you actually got a track that people recognize. How did you actually come up with this? Talk to us about Black Man.
Black Man Magic? Oh my God, it's so funny. So I wrote that song back in Atlanta. I wrote that song in like 2019. And yeah, I don't know. I just released it. I basically made it for my boyfriend and like it was my boyfriend for the, at the time in Atlanta. And I made it for him. And I was like, here's a song for you. And I never thought anybody would like care about it or like it. And then I released it and it blew up. And I was like, oh, shit. And it was on Shade 45. It was on Sirius Radio. It was like on Mad Radio stations, BBC Radio, whatever the hell, all these different stations. And so I was like, oh, shit. And I did get some backlash. I did get a lot of backlash, but I did get a lot of positive, too. I got both.
What was the backlash?
Oh, my God. I had so many blogs posting about me that were angry about the track. A lot of people called me a pick me, and a lot of people thought it was, like, racist. I had a lot of non-black guys who were very mad about the song that followed me. I had, like, blocked tons of people. And they were like, that's racist. How come we don't have white man magic and all this other crap? And I had Latino men that were mad, and then a couple of women were kind of salty about it. But, yeah, I had a lot of backlash, to be honest.
That's crazy. So you're not allowed to just talk about black men because you feel like you want to uplift black men?
I don't know. I had a lot of backlash because a lot of people said it was racist because I don't know. It's so, no one gets brought down in the song. It's just uplifting. It's just a positive, fun song. But you know how people are. They feel like if they're not included, that it's wrong. But I had never heard of a song that uplifted black men in a fun, positive way, like in a dance way, not in a depressing way or a sad song, like just a fun, like an anthem, basically. I never heard like a black man specific anthem. So I was like, this is great. This is fun. But some people heard it and they were just like, I should be included. You should make a song for us too. Or I was like, bitch, bye.
Well, what makes you smile is definitely mad. They said, my girlfriend broke up with me over that song.
Stop it. That did not happen. They lying.
Okay.
They lying.
All right. So now, talk to us. So that's music. So now, jumping off of music, and you did reality TV. You were on, oh boy, I see the eyes. Oh boy. So talk to us about One More Chance.
What you want to know? What you want to know? Right. I ain't volunteering anything. You got to let me know what you want to know. What you want to know?
All right, let's get into it. So episode one, you already came into the house and you was already arguing with people.
I was defending myself. I wasn't arguing with people.
Okay.
I never rose my voice once.
Nah, you didn't. You're right. You didn't raise your voice once. So you're right. But now, what was your first impression just walking in the house and then already having to deal with a whole bunch of people give you energy?
Let me tell you something. I am an actor. And I never thought I would do reality TV. I have been offered reality a lot throughout the years. I was offered Bad Girls Club Cycle 16 years ago, and I said no. I was offered like different dating shows and stuff. I said no, because I always felt like I would not be, number one, I always felt like I wasn't gonna be interesting for reality. I always knew that I'm not like the, you know, New York type. Like, I'm not, like, going to throw stuff or argue. I already knew I wasn't, because I like watching reality TV. I don't know what I like to see. So off the bat, I was like, I'm not interested enough for this shit. I'm a weird, introverted, alternative, oddball. Anybody want to watch me? Number one. Number two, I always felt like I'm too real for reality because I'm not good at pretending something that I'm not. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm not feeling something, I'm not feeling something. I'm not good at pretending. And so off the bat, when I showed up, I saw the people who I was around and I saw how well they were playing their character or how well they were showing the way they wanted to be perceived. And I off the bat was like, I don't know if I'm gonna be good at this because this is very stressful. And some people can handle that level of stress and I really can't. So that's why I ended up leaving very early on, because all that yelling and screaming and carrying on, I personally can't handle that. Some people, they can handle that. So when I first walked in, and off the bat, it was arguing and yelling and screaming the first day, I already was like, I don't know if I can handle this because this is too much. And I also was a little ignorant because I did think that it was going to be mostly fake. I did not realize that it was going to be real, like real, real. The fighting was real. The arguing was real. The hate is real. I naively went in it thinking that it was going to be mostly produced, or people were going to be just kind of acting like they don't like you or just acting like they want to fight you. But when the camera go off, they go back to normal. But that wasn't the case. It's 24 hours of that energy. So I was like, I'm not built for this.
I got you.
If I do reality, I'm good at like a reality like The Hills. Like, bitch, let's go get some lattes, or let's go on The Bachelor and sit and have some roses or something. I'm not good at the week. I'm not fighting nobody. So.
I understand. So now, let's do. Hold on. So now you get in the crib and they already 24 hours fighting, like you said. So now, did you feel like anybody in there was on the same type of timing that you was on, at least? Nobody, no confidant, nobody you could be like, all right, me and you gonna rock. So they was ready, they was in there ready to throw hands just 24/7 that you was in there.
I wouldn't say every single person is a fighter, but I'm like, the majority of people are fighters, are willing to fight, or at least can like argue for long periods of time and it doesn't maybe affect them. I say it doesn't affect them because they don't seem like they're gonna have a mental breakdown anytime soon. Me personally, I can't handle all that. Like yelling and screaming too long. Like for me, I can't handle that. Like to me in real life, I'm not doing that. In real life, I'm not gonna sit there and have nobody argue with me in my face for 20 minutes. That's not realistic for me. Like if somebody's arguing with me in real life, I'm out, like peace. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm not a fighter. Like I'm not doing that. And I remember one girl I told that to, she's like, how you from New York and you don't fight? I was like, because first of all, what the fuck does that mean? Like the fuck, like, listen, honey, lived in the projects, everything. Lived in group homes for years. And group homes is way worse than anything that was there. So I said, I've done this in real life. I lived in group homes with like 8 to 10 girls at a time who actually want to fight and spit and they do drugs. I've already gone through that environment in real life and I didn't fight. Mm-hmm. So I ain't gonna fight for your entertainment if I didn't fight in real life when it was like, you know, real shit going on. It's just not how I act. I'm cool. If you want to do all that, that's fine. But for me, it's just not how I like to, it's just not me, you know what I mean? So.
All right, so now you get into the crib and mm-hmm. it comes up with a name for you as you grab your
that
head.
That was not a name.
As you
that wasn't a name. Head. That wasn't a name.
Okay, so the name that you know that you hate, but Nest, he called you Nest. Why did he call you that, and why did you hate the name so bad on the show?
Well, the first time it came out the person's mouth, I was thrown off. I didn't even know that the person was even talking about me because I was just standing there, and then I was like, oh, shit, me? You know what I mean? It took me a moment, and like you would probably think, but you know what's on your head. Like you didn't think it was you. I didn't think it was me at first. I was actually shocked. What most people don't understand is that it was back to back over and over again on and off camera. So I went off camera and I asked, I said, hey, do you mind not, you know, doing that because I don't like it. So I wasn't trying to even make it, you know, known on camera. I wasn't trying to have no drama. Like, you know what I mean? I wasn't trying to confront nobody on camera. I was just like, yo, do you mind not doing that? But instead of being like, okay, cool, he decided to then go on camera and be like, oh, you told me not to say this about you, so I'm gonna say it again. And then what I realized is that if you let it be known that you don't like something, then people are gonna try to keep using it. I found it disrespectful because natural hair is something that I've been standing by for years. I've been trying to like help fight texturism, and natural hair movement is something that I've been on for years. And so I didn't really appreciate it because in real life, I can handle it. Like, I think people say, oh, you're sensitive and shit. No, not really. If you think I was going home and crying about that, then you don't know me. It's because as somebody who stands by this movement, I knew how damaging it was for something like that to be in the media. Because I even put them aside and said, you're going to have young black girls, like, watching this And this is what helps contribute to texturism, colorism, internal racism, like all this type of stuff. You got girls on the show, you make fun of their skin color, you make fun of their hair. And this is the type of stuff that people at home watch. And this is a majority is a Black audience, especially Black women. So I'm like, you're putting out a certain energy in the universe that I don't agree with. So it's not just about, oh, my personal feelings. It's that I stand by this movement. And even if it's, oh, a joke between us, that joke is going to reach people and hit them a different way. Some Black girls going to watch that, and now they're going to feel a certain type of way about their hair. You're going to have young Black girls watch it, like, that are 13, 14, 15, and they're going to feel like that's what their hair look like if they wear it natural. And my hair ain't even the kinkiest in the world. I've got, like, 3C to 4A hair. So now you got girls who have hair that's even coarser who are like, damn, well, if that's a nest, then what's mine? So it's just like, it's an internalized thing that I just didn't want to contribute to. And I didn't like that. I felt like as the only person there really rocking my natural hair, my natural hair texture, I just didn't like that being the message that we were sending. And then moving forward, it was just like, I just felt the need to just say something, but I feel like I was very respectful. I didn't yell. I didn't scream. I didn't make a scene about it. I feel like the way the editing made it seem like it was more epic than it was, but I was just like, hey, I don't like that. It wasn't like I was acting crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, hey, I don't like that. And I kept it simple. And I don't know. I didn't think it was going to be such a big topic. Like when I didn't go in that house preaching shit. I just was like, hey, do you mind not doing it? I don't like it. I wasn't trying to make a scene. You know what I mean? Like,
definitely. So now, and that's a good point. And the comments is definitely showing you love, saying speak on it. They say, I agree with you, Stormy. Queen's Command, speak your mind. Stormy, cool as fuck. You know what I'm saying? So they definitely rocking with you, and they definitely agree with that stance. But do you feel like there's a thin line between like good TV and just disrespecting Black women?
I feel like we can entertain people without showing internalized racism towards ourselves or anti-Blackness. I feel like there's a lot of things that we could poke fun at, and there's a lot of things that we can, you know, use for entertainment. But I feel like we shouldn't be like counteracting like active movements that are trying to help our community. So if you know that colorism and texturism and featureism are certain things that we're actively fighting within our community, I feel like we shouldn't be stepping ourselves backwards for the sake of entertainment. If you want to make fun of other things, like, you know, maybe the way someone says something, or maybe how someone dances, and just things that aren't, you know, like that closely related to us culturally, then I think that's different. But I think like natural hair is something that's a movement that's been political for years. And so I think that that's just going too far. That's just my point of view. People don't have to, you know, agree with me. I'm sure some people don't. I just feel like that's something we're actively trying to fight. And so it's just not worth the entertainment value, in my opinion. And then the problem I have is, so I have like Black people and stuff come to my page. I'll be like, oh, hey, Nest, whatever. People will refer to me that from the show. But the problem I have is now I have white folks and non-Black people coming on my page and saying that. So how do you draw that line? If we on TV and we're making fun of the dark girls, we're making fun of the girls with the afros, we're making fun of the girls with the big lips, etc. How do we then turn around and tell white folks and non-Black people that they can't do it? Because now they're going to go and say, oh, well, these Black people were doing it to each other, so therefore it's not racist. And that's the problem. Because now I have non-Black people coming to my page, making fun of my hair. And when I try to teach them and be like, hey, you can't do that, then they're like, oh, well, other Black people were doing it, so therefore it's not racist, or therefore it's okay. And so that's what I'm saying. It just makes the fight so much harder. So that's the thing I'm saying, like, I'm not feeling it. And the thing about it is, yeah, it's a reality show, but you're allowed to say whatever the fuck you want on reality. That's what people don't get. Like, there's no rule book that says you have to worship this guy, you have to do everything he says. Because if this is a dating show, in real life in dating, I would address a man that said that to me.
Okay.
You also have to address it just for the sake of, like, you know, we don't want to send the message to women that they can be disrespected in dating settings, and they also can't speak up. I still kept my feminine energy, and I feel like I still carried myself very ladylike the way I addressed it. I wasn't like, you know, calling him out his name or being crazy. So, yeah.
Now, let me ask were you actually there to get to know Chance, or were you just there just to kind of see if you can get another opportunity, or were you interested in a relationship with him?
We wasn't a relationship. What do you mean? He's not having a relationship with him?
Were you interested in being in a relationship with him?
Oh, okay. That's
what your main intent on being on the show?
Well, I didn't really have much time to think about it. I'm not going to lie. I was contacted. I didn't apply and I didn't seek it. So I was a fan of season one, and I had hung out and I was friends with a couple of people from season one. And I was a fan of the show. I thought I was watching it and I was like, okay, cool. And I knew some people from it, but I never thought about being on it. It never crossed my mind. So I was contacted to see if I wanted to be a part of it. And I said, yeah, I was like, fuck it. Why not? To be honest, I didn't really think much of it. I thought it would be like a fun experience. In my mind, I thought maybe it could be like some cool adventures, or maybe, I don't know, like some fun dates. I was assuming that it might be better than season one. So I assumed that maybe they would have bigger things going on. So I know season one, they didn't really go many places. So I assumed that maybe for season two, they would have like the budget and the means to maybe do bigger activities and stuff. So I was like, let's go and see what happens.
Throw a bad shade.
Huh?
You throw a bad shade.
Who?
You said they had no budget.
No, I said they didn't have a budget. I'm saying I was assuming that for season two, usually to get bigger budgets for like second, third season. So I was thinking they're probably going to which they did. They had a bigger house. They had bigger everything. So I was like, okay, it's going to be fun, whatever. So I just went to go and see what would happen. I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I never met the guy before. He had slid in my DMs about 2 months before I was even contacted. It was just like on some flirt shit. And I was like, oh, hey, whatever. I didn't really have a motive or really have I didn't really think that far ahead. I was just like, okay, I'll do it.
Got you.
Okay. I didn't sit around and really plan anything. I was just let me go see what it's about. And to be honest, it wasn't really him that kind of made the experience, even with his comments. It was really, the girls, because I felt like even though we were in competition, I thought that at the same time we could still be having fun and still be kind of friends and cool at the same time. So that, because we were mostly spent time together. So to me, it was like, that was really kind of the deal breaker for me is the girl time wasn't really that fun and that cool.
Got you. So let's actually do that real quick. So the final episode that actually just aired, that's when you actually departed.
Oh, you've been watching it.
Yeah, I've been watching it. I've been trying to keep up. I gotta see what's going on out here in these streets.
That was the last episode, right? Yeah. So
now talk to us about what happened. You were in the car with the rest of the girls heading to the boxing ring, and they was asking you questions and you wasn't with it, and you put your headphones in and you was zoned out. Then that was the last that we actually seen you. Break that scene down. What happened?
The car, they had the van set up. And they were going to go to this challenge, and everyone was trying to keep the challenge a secret from us. We're not supposed to know what the challenge is until that day, but there was a rumor that it was going to be fighting. And I already was like, if it's fighting, I'm good. Because at this point there was already so much fighting happening naturally. I just was like, I'm tired of all this fighting. Imagine you get there day one and it's a bunch of physical fighting. You saw things thrown at, it's fighting and then arguing. Day two, it is arguing and fighting. Day three. So it's it's already so much fighting. We never get to spend time with him. We never really get to talk to him. We don't really get to do anything fun. We haven't danced around, listened to music. We're not doing anything, in my opinion, that's fun. It's just constant bickering and arguing. So then when we finally get a challenge, I'm excited because I'm like, oh, we're going to do something fun. But then it ends up being kind of the same thing that we've already been doing, which is arguing and yelling. So that's where I'm saying, so I said, be careful. No, trust me, that's why I'm picking up my words. Picking my words, Quav, very carefully. So my whole thing is there was a challenge coming up, I was hoping that it was like I said, something as a break from that hostility. like, I don't know, knitting or something, or making a pie. Just something that had a different energy from the energy we were already doing. So when the energy was going to be the same as what we've already been seeing, then that's when I was a little disappointed. And then I was like, well, if it's that, I'm not participating. I don't want to do that. I don't want to fight. I don't want to argue. And I already felt uncomfortable with the challenge because I felt like if you were to hurt somebody in the ring, then people could want to fight you for real. You know what I'm saying? I just felt like it just was a way to, it was just more negative energy. And I just was like, I'm not feeling it. I want to have fun. Also, my nails are always crazy long. I got nose piercings. I was like, I'm not about this. Anyway, long story short, for the van, basically the van ride was crazy. I don't know. It was just like I sat in there and I guess I made a mistake in saying, I said, hey guys, I have my headphones in. And people were like, why are you wearing your headphones? And I basically was saying like, I'm not trying to argue today. I don't want to get into that with y'all today, right? Now, it wasn't necessarily a jab at nobody, and it also wasn't supposed to be interpreted as like me suggesting that they've been arguing. It was just a thing of like, it's already been the energy that's been going on. And so I was like, hey, I'm putting my headphones in today because today I just can't take it no more. I was already going to quit before that day. I already was like on my verge of quitting because the fighting was already too much for me, because everybody gets to see like a reduced 15, 20 minute version of it. But the girls were fighting so much that I just personally couldn't take it. It was giving me anxiety. It was making me sick. I just really couldn't deal with it. But then I was like, okay, let me just go and see what happens this day. So that's why I had my headphones and I was like, I'm going to try to have a Zen day and try to see if I can get through this. It started getting really hard to just make it day by day. So anyway, I put my headphones in. People got offended off the fact that I just wanted to put headphones in. And people got offended off the fact that I was like, I don't want to argue with nobody today. I really just not in the mood for that. Instead of just taking it like, okay, homegirl just is trying to be in her own zone, they took it the wrong way and decided to start arguing and yelling and screaming and all different types of stuff. Then someone was like, are you here for Chance or something like that? And, you know, they didn't like my answer. So then we end up, people ended up yelling at me and saying all types of stuff. I had my headphones and at that point I didn't respond anymore because I was like, I'm not really in the mood for all this. Personally, it's a reality show. It's entertainment. And so I felt like in that moment that it's not supposed to feel like this. It's not supposed to feel like prison. It's not supposed to feel like torture or like, it's supposed to be fun in my opinion. I've never done anything in my life for entertainment, from music to acting to anything, where I wasn't enjoying myself. So for me, not enjoying myself, it was like, why am I doing this? And so I just was very unhappy and I was depressed and it was just stressing me out. And let me clarify, like 90% of the fighting that was happening, I wasn't even involved in. It's not like, oh, people were fighting with me when I'm saying I couldn't handle it. It was people fighting with each other. It was the environment itself. So it's not like even the first night when there's a big fight and stuff breaking out, I'm not in it, but I'm there. I just couldn't, I didn't like being around it. You know what I'm saying? It's not about nobody was messing with me. I just didn't like being around it. It was just too much. It was like, I don't want to be around. I'm good. This is weird. Like, cause I was sitting in the kitchen at one point and I'm not even gonna argue with nobody, but some people started throwing, I know who it was, but I'm only saying nobody's name. Somebody started throwing something towards us and I wasn't even involved in the fight. I was just minding my business. So it's the thing of, even if you're not trying to fight with nobody, that you could just have something thrown towards your head or you could have somebody try to hurt you just because you there. And I'm not really trying to do all this. I'm trying to get my face smashed down. I'm trying to lose my vision. People don't get, it's actually, you know, people could hurt you. They could throw some water on you and make your makeup melt on camera. Hit you with a rock. They could spit on you. I mean, who knows? I was just like, I don't want to do all this. I just want to look pretty.
Yeah.
And date somebody and look pretty. And I just want to look cute on camera. I don't want to look crazy on camera. Like, at the end of the day, we still on camera. And there's still going to be thousands of people watching us. And I don't want to be caught with my hair pulled. Like, you know, people grab a clump of your hair. Or I don't want people to catch you with my eyelash torn off. Because then they got the memes and them screenshots forever.
Forever. So, but let me ask
you. I'm not trying to look crazy. crazy. That's the thing. Like, some people, they don't care. Me, I'm like, I don't want to look crazy. That's why I don't even want to be caught yelling on camera with my mouth wide open. I just don't want to look crazy.
Listen, but now I feel like you did it with grace, though. They saying you did the right thing. You should have left. The comments is definitely rocking with you. But let me ask you this, though. Just being in that environment and just watching, and let's just talk about Black women real quick. Your stance was to protecting the Black crown. You know what I'm saying?
All these comments. Someone said, why were you there for clout?
You wasn't there for clout. Don't pay no mind to that.
You were trying to get clout entertainment.
But let me ask you, do you feel like the representation of Black women on the show, though, puts the culture back? What do you think? Do you think that the representation of reality TV for Black women right now, what's your opinion?
The thing about it is, every time I mention anything, I end up being the bad guy. Don't go and take this live and go interpret it as me talking bad about somebody. So I'll just leave it at this. I'm not gonna sit here and say how other people represent the culture, if I agree with it or not, because end of the day, I ain't trying to have 20 days of people talking about me. It's a migraine. Anybody got, you know what I'm saying? But I will say that it's important how we perceive ourselves. I mean, how we present ourselves. It's important, especially as Black people. But I will say that one thing that bothers me is that if a Black woman's on TV, right, and she's acting crazy, ratchet, whatever you want to call it, I feel like that it does not represent everybody. It represents herself. I don't like when people try to say, oh, this person was acting ratchet or crazy, making Black people look bad. I feel like they represent themselves. Mm. Like, they're not representing Black people as a whole. They're not representing the community as a whole, representing themselves. Mm. Now, I'm not going to sit here and act like other races and all these other motherfuckers aren't going to watch it and then use that to excuse their racism. But I feel like, well, fuck it. I mean, if they think like that, they're racist to begin with. If they look at TV like that and they say this represents Black women, then they're already racist to begin with. You feel me?
Gotcha.
But, I mean, does it help the culture? I mean, who am I to say anything, you know?
But your voice still matters, though. It don't matter who are you to say anything.
That's someone said you wasn't there for Chance and didn't want to fight. You wasted your... Can you block this girl? I'm not talking no more. So you block this Yari band. She's fucking annoying as shit. Bitch, it's fucking television. Like, y'all act stupid.
All right, Yari band. She said you gotta go.
You gotta go. Bye. You're fucking up my energy. You're one of them. Go. Bye. It's a reality show. Watch it. Be entertained.
She's gone.
No, because one thing that bothers me is it's fucking television. Mm-hmm. What do you think people are making it for? What do you think people are making it for? Like, are you the same children who that didn't think that Santa Claus being real? Like, what the fuck? Like, it's television. Mm-hmm. It's television. It's entertainment. Do you usually go on television to date people? It's entertainment. It's TV. It doesn't mean that some people can't go and make a natural connection with somebody, but it's television. Like, come on, bro. It's TV. You act like the people who say that you're there for clout. Bro, it's television. The TV show.
They all there for clout.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a TV show.
Okay.
Like... It's a TV show.
Absolutely. Yo, well, Stormy, you here on Black Culture to break down, and you on here, you got the comments on lit, okay? Okay, and you are lit out here.
I'm all right. I'm doing my thing, you know what I mean?
Definitely doing your thing. So let's get these fellas back on here like you suggested.
Someone said, did they make you argue with Brown Sugar? No, they didn't make me argue. I didn't argue with that person. That person came from my natural hair, and I addressed them the same way I addressed anyone else who came for it. But that conversation was something that was naturally occurring from my point of view. It was the camera came on, and that's what that person chose to say, and then I chose to respond to it. If that person was told to do it, I have no idea. From my perspective, it looked like they said it on their own. So...
Okay. So Is there anything else that about the show that you want to leave on the floor before we get the fellas back on here?
Is there any other questions in the house or
anything? I got one more question that everybody probably definitely want to know. Will you be at the reunion?
I don't know. People keep asking me that. And to be honest, I know the answer, but I'm not going to publicly answer that question. So the only answer anyone's going to get is I don't know.
Okay. All right.
I mean, the thing about it is like this. If clout was that important to me, I would have stayed. Mm-hmm. My mental health and my happiness comes before anything. So trust me, if I was a clout chaser to the extent that I would like just anything, nothing else matters, I would still be there. But okay. I'm not desperate, nor am I a person who puts my mental health or happiness last. So that comes first.
Okay. Well, you heard what she said. Her happiness definitely comes first. Her mental health is not up for debate.
Nope.
Okay. So at the end of the day, I respect you, Stormy, for standing in your truth and doing what it is that you felt like represented you, you know what I'm saying, in the best way that you knew how to, man. You definitely got people out here that's definitely rocking with you and supporting your decisions. So do you, Stormy.
Yes.
All right. So we're about to get these fellas back on here. Now, let me see how I can actually, fellas, send a request. How you do that?
They got to send a request to you, and you can add up to 3 people. Well, you already got me, so you can add 2 more people.
All right, so I'm going to get both of them back on here. But
do you know how to do it?
Oh, I see MRK on here. Chuck, send that request.
Is he actually losing on the show? I don't know what that means.
What up, though?
Okay.
What up, though?
What up? Welcome back. All right, let me see if I see Chuck on here. I don't see Chuck on here. MRK, Stormy, MRK.
What up, Stormy?
Hello.
Stormy, reading them comments, letting them stress you out.
No. No comments don't stress me out. They're not saying nothing negative. They just say I'm over it. People don't understand. I'm an air sign, okay? As soon as we don't like something, we leave. Air signs be like, push, bye. I'm a Gemini. I don't give a fuck. I say what's on my mind and I leave. That's what Geminis do. We don't care. Bold as shit.
Definitely respect that. So let's get into some culture topics real quick. I got some culture topics real quick. So let's talk about this real quick. Lizzo's been out here getting a lot of backlash with everything that she's been out here doing. She went to Cardi B's party. We just talked about that. MRK, homeboy gave her the mansion. But Lizzo pulled up in a see-through situation. She got crazy backlash on the internet. She decides to take it to her Instagram Live and moon everybody and say, kiss my ass.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that?
Stormy.
What?
Ladies first.
Ladies what? First.
Ladies first.
What?
What's the question?
What do you think about that?
Think about what?
think about Lizzo dressed up like Rihanna a few years ago. And telling everybody to kiss her ass when if they had anything to say about it. What do you think about that?
I think Liz is a grown-ass woman. I don't have an opinion on what grown people do, to be honest. Like, I know a lot of people have opinions about what grown women do, what grown women wear, but that's not my business. And I've never body-shamed nobody in my life. I don't body-shame women. So I ain't gonna sit here and pick apart her body. I don't pick apart what she wear, because I feel like I'm in a situation where people do that shit to me, and I don't like the way it feels. So I wouldn't do it to another woman either. And I definitely wouldn't slut shame a woman when my ass is naked all over the fucking internet. So I'd be a hypocrite.
What?
Hey, I think everybody got a job to do, and Lizzo doing hers. That's what I think. I think she's doing her job. I think people underestimate the cost of getting attention on this. On this internet box, they think that people could just be real talented and do their thing. Like, obviously, Lizzo is amazing. She's an amazing talent, but we all gotta be a one man PR team. You know what I mean? We gotta figure out how to keep people giving a shit about what we do. And everybody latched on to her size. So, ever since it happened, that's what she's been giving you. She be giving you her size, and in the middle of that shit, give you some music. You dig? But it costs a lot of money to get eyes on what you're doing. And but it's real. But it's cheap. If you could just show your, you know what I mean? If you could just be her and get that kind of attention, I mean, that kind of attention costs millions of dollars, man. You know what I mean? And she could get it by wearing some shit like that.
So do you feel like, MRK, but do you feel like she's doing it as an attention grab? You feel like it's all premeditated and this
Absolutely. It's the entertainment business. Like, that's all we all doing, man. This is the clout business. People always get upset at people about chasing clout. Like, this is the clout business.
Clout makes money. That's what clout does. That we're entertainers. That's what we do. Clout. That's the thing. It's crazy. Even with the thing you just asked me, like, we're entertainers. We're meant to entertain. Like, that's what it is. It's clout. That's what we do. We get attention. That's how we pay our bills. Whether it's music or movie or reality or acting, we are fucking clout chasers. Like, that's what the fuck. That's fucking entertainment. Like,
absolutely.
How are we going to entertain if we don't have nobody watching us?
And that's an indictment.
The fuck? Like, we're entertainers. We're the jesters of the world.
Yeah. And that's an indictment on the people that watch, because it takes that kind of shit to get their attention. Unfortunately, right? Like, unfortunately.
Exactly. You know? They're not watching nobody doing poetry on a rock. They're not watching nobody save kittens in a river. They want to watch people twerk and fight and act crazy.
Self-destruct. You know what I'm saying? Absolutely.
All right, so let's jump into this. You said clout builds celebrities and build influences and build things that people want to buy into. Let's talk about some of the biggest people that have built the biggest clouts, like Rihanna, you know what I'm saying, Kanye. They have these huge brands that they're pushing the millennials right now. This is a question I want to ask you and people in the comments right now. Are these celebrity fueled brands affordable for people, the average day Joe Schmo? Fenty, Yeezy, Ivy Park, etc., etc. Are they affordable, or is it just all about the clout to have the brand?
Yes.
You feel like it's a ripoff on millennials?
Man, nobody asked
when white brands do it. Nobody asking about Gucci and Chanel and stuff doing it. We don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, why when black people do it, is it like clout chasing? But we don't question Burberry or any of these other brands. Like, they're making their money just like every other brand is. Like, their name is valuable. They should have it pop. It would make their brand look cheap. It would tickle into the other things that they do. Like, if they're selling $10 t-shirts, it makes them look cheap. It makes them look inexpensive. Like, you know what I'm saying? So they have to make it expensive to make themselves look successful. Like, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Because how you going to bounce from Gucci to some shit you could buy anywhere?
Exactly.
And it got to be linear, right? Like, so.
Exactly. You can't be talking about, I rock Gucci, I rock Fendi. You know, I think you got your own brand and it's like $10 sneakers. It just,
mm-mm. So the upscale brands is definitely trying to almost, not like scale down, but they got big competition. These Fashion Novas, the Fashion Nova Men, and all of these celebrities that have their brands popping now are now competing with these mainstream brands like the Fendi's and Prada's. Do you feel like these celebrity influenced brands are now becoming the new, like, Ivy League of fashion?
I mean, it's nothing new, bro. The internet just make it easier to get the word out about it. You know, artists been putting out their own lines, you know, as far back as in the 80s with perfumes and, you know what I'm saying? Like all of the soap opera stars had perfumes and they sold beer and all type of stuff, bro. Like it's been that way since the beginning of all of this shit, man. So it's just gonna keep going.
Right. Okay.
All right, one more question. So, we're going to play something called Rapid Fire, all right? And I'm going to ask y'all a question, and you're just going to answer the first thing that comes to your head, naturally. Cool?
Mm-hmm. Stormy first.
And so, Stormy, you're going to go first, and then you're going to go second. That's all how right.
we Let's do it.
Every Next. Time. It's like, Stormy, go first.
All right. So, he said every time, Stormy, go first. Ladies first.
Yes, first. Right. Absolutely.
What's your favorite color?
Turquoise.
Green.
What's your favorite type of music?
Rock.
R&B.
What's your favorite president?
President?
Yeah.
Oh, he said president.
Your favorite president. Who's your favorite president?
Obama. He's black.
Okay. Hey, man. Barry Obama, man. That's how we doing it.
Okay. Okay. What's your favorite movie?
Coming to America.
Oh, sheesh. I can't even. Life.
Okay. What's your favorite?
Hey, hold up. Hold up, man. What's that about? She, you don't like Life? Life?
No, Life's a good movie. Oh. It's not a top. It's a good movie, but it's not someone's favorite movie.
How many times you seen it?
Like 20.
You watched a movie that's not in your top list 20 times? That's
yes, a lot of, because, no, because one time I was staying with my cousin in Wilmington, North Carolina, when I had nowhere else to stay, and all I had was a laptop and no fucking internet, and I had like 3 DVDs, and so.
Like one of them.
I didn't buy it. It was what was there. But yes, it's a good movie. It's just not a favorite movie. That movie be making me too sad. That shit's so sad. It's just too sad to be a favorite. This shit's depressing as fuck.
Did you like Coming to America too?
It's okay. It doesn't really match the first one, but it's cool.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Next question. What's your favorite song?
Linkin Park, The End.
Okay.
Rocky Love by Stevie Wonder.
All right. What's the favorite song that you've written?
Sheesh.
It's not even out yet.
Hey, that record was a bop too, Stormy. I was fucking with that. I ain't never heard it. That was a bop.
Black Man Magic. I'm dead. I'll just pick Black Man Magic because I can't think of nothing else.
It was magical. My favorite song I ever wrote, I haven't written it yet.
Okay, okay. All right, last question. Who is your dream collaboration musical-wise?
The comments are gone. They're not even moving anymore.
No, they're moving. Who's your dream?
They're moving for me.
They're moving.
How come they only move for y'all?
No.
What are they saying?
They definitely moving.
See, y'all lucky. I can't see none. Can you go first?
Okay, go ahead then, MRK.
Go, man. Kendrick Lamar.
All right, Kendrick Lamar. It's a good one.
Yeah. But that's a long list, though. You just said the first name to come to mind, so.
Definitely. But tell me, wait, hold on. You got mad people that you want to collab with?
Me? Yeah, absolutely, man. That list long, bro. All
right, how about this? Give us top five.
Man, Kendrick, Freddie Gibbs. Stevie Wonder.
Okay.
Probably Beyonce.
Dope.
And Solange.
Okay.
I'd love to do a record with both of them. Yeah.
Right, that's fire. Yep. All right, Stormy, what you got for us?
You ain't going out on a date, Stormy. You know what I'm saying? Like, who you trying to do a song with?
Oh, my God. You ain't even get one. Nah, you can't even pick one?
Hey. Give her a top five, no order, bro. You know what I'm saying? Maybe she
ask me another question. I don't know.
We're gonna throw some names out at you, and you tell us if it's a go.
Okay, I'll pick any of them. That's cool. I'll work with anybody.
You are. Would you work with Ty Dolla $ign?
Sure, why not?
Okay, and we know you into heavy metal, so you would work with what's the one that be that's playing right now with Machine Gun Kelly. That's with Courtney Kardashian, the one that be drumming. What's his name?
Oh, Travis Barker.
Barker. You'll work with Travis Barker?
Sure, why not?
Okay. Would you work with Gianna?
Of course, why not?
So who are you not going to work with then?
I work with anybody, as long as they have like a decent name, why not?
Shoot, well, how, well, shoot, MRK, would you work with Stormy Maya?
Yesterday.
Oh, it's a collaboration. I see it. It's a collaboration.
Yes, what do you? What is that button? What do you like a easy button? What is that?
Listen, this is the secrets back here on the show. I can't give you all.
Oh, oh, okay.
You behind the scenes, but if you tune in right now, we are definitely on Black Culture the Breakdown. We got Maya Stormy in the building, and
Maya Stormy. Hey,
all right. Oh, oh shit. Stormy.
He said Maya Stormy. I'm dead.
Well, listen, if y'all been tapping in, we talked about everything from being a social media influencer, going into tapping into music, diving into acting, modeling, reality, author. She do a whole bunch of things.
Where's that guy?
He ain't come back. I don't know what happened. Maybe, I don't know what happened.
He was the influencer guy. I didn't know who he was. I didn't get to see who he was. Influencer, right?
Yeah, he's an influencer. His name is Chuck. So definitely, if y'all want to follow him, his name is The Real Chuck Bass. And he's a lifestyle influencer and a fashion model and a stylist. So tap in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, but listen, we definitely appreciate both y'all coming up on the show. And it was definitely a fun time. And make sure you... All right. Stormy, anything you want to leave the people with?
I already know I'm going to be screen recorded and posted on some freaking blogs. Every time I do a damn interview about that damn show, I end up on some weird person's page. So I already know.
But you ain't
saying. Let me tell you, these people interpret anything you can say. You can say, I didn't want to be part of drama, and then they'll post you and they'll talk back. And you, not, that's the thing about reality. Like I said, it's like literally reality is the most, out of all the entertainment levels that I've gone through, it's definitely the most like evil. So no matter what you say or do, it can't be positive. It's definitely so yeah, I'm sure it'll be interpreted negatively, whatever.
The price of fame,
I mean, that's stuff like that is considered, those are the clout realms. The Man. Fame realms are definitely more like movies and the music, but that type of stuff is like clout, social media influencing reality. That's all clout shit. That's different. Those things are different, I feel like.
Okay. Well, at the end of the day though, Stormy, if they ain't talking about you, then you ain't doing
exactly.
It
right. Exactly. I don't look.
So that's definitely a fact. All right, y'all. Anything y'all want to plug before we end the live?
Hey man, like I said, long story longer, dropping on the 22nd, man. Look out for it.
Definitely. Stormy, anything coming up we should be on the lookout for?
Yeah, but I'm not allowed to talk about it.
So that we shouldn't be on the lookout for it yet.
I can't. I mean, yeah, I guess. But everything that I have coming out, I'm not allowed to say anything.
Okay, all right. No problem.
Like movies and stuff and shows. It'd be like, you can't say nothing until it's out. So.
Gotcha. All right. Well, listen, if y'all definitely tapping in, make sure you follow MRKSX and make sure you follow Stormy Maya. Again, this is episode 3, season 3 of Black Culture, The Breakdown. If you're following us, we are every Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right. We're going to definitely see y'all next Sunday. We got a super dope show. And hit the follow button. It's free. Yes. Okay. I am your boy, Jersey. We do this every Sunday. And we talk about real things while going at the entertainment industry. You know what I said? Yes. You know what I going. So make sure y'all understand. All right. I'm out. It was a long night. No stress. Yo, Stormy, you with great energy. It don't matter if they screen record and put you out there. We love your vibes. We got your back on here. If they see them, you see them violating her, make sure you got her back in the comments. You heard? Yes. All right, y'all. I am the boy Jersey. I am out of here. Again, get that spicy. Use my discount code. Yes. All right. Deuces.